Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 31 Millionen Euro. 31 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bjuk.de.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Monday morning, Merle, don't worry about the Minnesota you used to love.
And that's all you're getting this week.
Used to love Merle.
What happened? Why did you stop listening to our minisodes? Merle,
we miss
that
you.
That hurts our heart. Merle, you were our, don't tell our other listeners, but you were our favorite listener. Every week we would be like, what do you think Merle's going to think about this episode?
Yeah.
Like, do you think Merle's going to tweet at us?
Totally. And, you know, I actually noticed that he hasn't been around in a minute, and hearing that he used to love us, we're someone that he used to love, breaks my heart.
What changed?
How can I fix this?
It's just really painful.
How can I be better for you, Merle?
Because I feel like we're the same podcast we were. Like, yeah. I just don't understand how it could go from like one day someone loves us and then like we don't do anything, like we stay the same person, and then like it's just not enough anymore. And it's just like, it just really makes me feel bad about this podcast. Like, what's wrong with it that like it's not good enough for Merle?
So that was Monday Morning Merle, suggested by a friend of the podcast, Hannah.
Hannah, thanks so much.
I only learned 2 lines. We're recording this Saturday night. And I'm getting on that ship for Princess Cruise Lines.
Get
Sunday
on
morning.
That ship.
Get on. In the famous words of Ty from Extreme Makeover Home Edition,
get on that ship. He famously says it like that.
And everyone says, what are you talking about? It's a bus ship. And you want us to move it. And he says,
like,
no, get
so
on
funny.
That ship. But so we're kind of, we're a little strapped for time. So I just gave us a solid 2 lyrics. And I said, you know what? If Merle doesn't love us anymore, then I don't owe him to learn
more of
this song.
Here's the thing, Merle, love you forever. You changed our lives, but you don't have to love us. That's okay. No,
we don't need your love anymore. Because you know
literally.
What? You know what, Merle? We don't need love from you because we have found love from someone even better, ourselves. And if it took you breaking our hearts for us to learn that all we ever needed was us, then it was worth it.
Yeah.
I'd do it
Absolutely.
1,000 more times.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, I want to thank you, Merle, for taking us on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
On that note.
What? I'm grateful to you for falling out of love with us.
Yeah, because you know what? It made us fall in love with us.
I could not.
I can never repay you for that. I can never repay you for that, Merle.
Gave us the greatest gift anyone could ever give.
Hell yeah.
Well,
if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Amen. You know who RuPaul got that from? Merle.
Merle. I'm sure.
Merle broke RuPaul's heart.
Whoa. Merle is out here breaking everybody's hearts.
Merle's out here breaking everyone's hearts for the greater good. To teach self-love.
Honestly, wait, what if?
I respect
that's it. Totally a thing we could do is just call all of our heartbreaks Merle, but like also the heartbreaks that teach us things about ourselves can be Merle. So everyone call your exes, everyone call the thing that rejected you, call it Merle, and remember how it taught you to love yourself more.
Yeah, everyone be grateful for your Merles.
Yeah, totally. Like the train that I missed like this morning, it's like, oh, fuck. But then I got to like sit with myself for 5 minutes and like read my Kindle a little more. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Merle. Are you ready to get in this minisode?
I absolutely am.
Okay, cool.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred, and I'm thankful for all the Merles, big and small, that led me to where I am today.
Yeah.
Including the biggest Merle, which was... The Fox TV series Glee.
Word.
Specifically the season finale of season 4 and how that led me to becoming a Gleek.
Yeah, specifically that episode, definitely. Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Lena Knatzer, and I, my life is a wonderful place, but it's been full of so many Merles, and I'm eternally grateful for those Merles that have taught me all that I've learned throughout the years. And you know what? The biggest one, unfortunately, I was just like a 13-year-old girl living my life and then Glee conked me over the head and now look at me here. 25 years old, in New York City, talking about Glee. Ooh, 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 ooh. And you know who got us there? Merle. All right, up first, let's kick things off. Let's have Eve kick things off for us, shall we?
We shall. Eve, go ahead. The ball is teed up whenever you're ready. Eve, she, they, Australia.
International listener!
Hi, Lena and Ian. It's been a hot minute since I last emailed you guys, but I have thoughts on the unique catfishing writer storyline. Specifically, I want to talk about the way Glee treats its queer characters when it comes to romantic storylines, because I think it has a tendency to be problematic. I think Glee has a pattern of making their queer characters act really toxic and even predatory when they have crushes on other characters. We saw it in season 1 with Kurt going after Finn. We saw it in season 2 with Santana manipulating Brittany while Brittany was still dating Artie. And we're seeing it now with unique catfishing Ryder. It just feels very hypocritical that a show that prides itself on its LGBTQ representation has consistently portrayed their queer characters in some very harmful ways. The reason it frustrates me so much is because their cishet characters are so often doing stuff that's just as bad, or worse, but it's rarely ever treated as a problem in the world of the show. To name a few, we had Puck dating Kitty, Shelby sleeping with Puck, Holly Holiday being a disgusting teacher, also just Will's entire existence, and those are just some examples. I'm sure if I sat here long enough, I'd come up with a laundry list of other instances. I think Unique being the catfish is especially upsetting because, as you guys said, it just feeds into the awful transphobic idea that trans people are deceptive and somehow predatory. To be fair, I feel like the show itself doesn't necessarily vilify Unique too much for her actions. They do explain that she felt like Ryder wouldn't like her as she is and she really didn't mean to hurt him, but I don't think that changes the fact that giving her the storyline was ultimately a harmful thing to do. Anyway... that's about all I wanted to say on this. Thank you for reading. Consensual forehead kisses, Eve.
Eve, I love this. And I think especially pointing out that like Glee all the time is like making their characters do like really toxic stuff when it comes to like romantic relationships and like just being people, like they're just toxic people. But it's like, what narrative are we like putting this, like what lens is on, like what lens are we looking at this through? And it's like, yeah, Holly Holiday is a terrible teacher. Are we pointing that out? And like, what are we pointing out here? Like, what are we specifically pointing at? You know what I mean? So I really appreciate you pointing this out. Absolutely.
It's so interesting what you say, Eve, about like, it's not that only the queer characters are predatory and harmful. It's that it's only made a point, like mm-hmm. you just said, Lena, it's only pointed at that they are predatory and harmful. And I wonder why that is, and I obviously have no idea why that is. You know, I'm not these writers. I don't know what went on in their minds. But it just makes me wonder if it was like since, you know, Ryan Murphy is a gay man and I'm sure has faced homophobia his whole life mm-hmm. and has faced people like being creeped out by him or like thinking that he was predatory or whatever. I wonder if he just feels, or any of the writers, because, you know, there's multiple queer people on the staff, on the writing staff. I wonder if they just, like, felt this need to anytime a queer character did something that was bad, to be like, we know it's bad,
yeah,
to, like, get ahead of it. Because, you know, like you pointed out, Eve, all the characters do this. So I think I wonder if it was, like, they truly just don't know how to write interesting relationship dynamics without toxicity. Yeah. Like, that's just their go-to with writing a relationship. But then when they wrote a queer relationship, they were so used to having to defend, like, oh, we know, like, we're not like them, whatever, whatever, that they immediately had to be like, and this is bad, and they're doing a bad thing. I don't know. That was just a thought that occurred to me.
It's an interesting thought, and I don't know. I obviously don't know... I wasn't in the writer's room, and it's an interesting thought that maybe they felt like in order to tell this queer story, they had to like appease some sort of audience. Like, we know, you know, I don't know.
I just feel like in my own experience, whenever I am, I don't know. I feel like whenever I'm talking about like touchy subjects, I tend to be far more critical on like my side of the issue.
Yeah.
To show like, totally. See, I know when I'm more open-minded about this. You know what I mean? Like yeah, when we talked about grilled cheeses, and I stand by the stuff I said in that episode, but I also like really felt a need to point mm-hmm. out the toxic stuff that the religious characters were doing in that episode mm-hmm. to show like, I may be religious, but like, I don't agree with what they were doing.
Totally.
And I wonder if that's why they are constantly lampshading any toxicity in the queer relationships in this show.
That's a really interesting thought. Huh.
And, you know, that is
pure
conjecture.
I'll have to put
conjecture.
That in my pipe and smoke it, because I'm not like that. I have to think on that one for a minute. Huh.
Anyways,
Eve, I'm so grateful for this message. Given us a lot to think about. And also, like, I didn't even think about it from this way. And Ian, I've never thought about it from that way either. So look at us. A discussion pod. Loves it.
Right.
Eve, thanks so much. Up next, we have a message from Eliza.
Hi, guys. My name's Eliza, she, her, from Australia.
International listener!
Listening to you talk about the show with the same passion yet frustration that I have is so validating. Oof, this show is so confused with itself. The music in this episode was just meh, aside from Rainbow Connection, we love her. It wasn't bad, like higher than any other, nor is it masterful, like Bohemian Rhapsody featuring Diana Agron. It's just radio pop from the year the show aired, and then a copy-paste of another dramatic hand movement, tear-forcing, time-taking, Rachel is so amazing, can't you see it song. Like you said, a big missed opportunity with Funny Girl auditions was not having Rachel in the same room as her competition. The stakes don't feel like a real callback because as far as we know, with how underwhelming it all is in this episode, it seems like she's already got the part. Another thing is that we never see Rachel's acting capabilities. She can sing, yes, we already know that. What the casting director needs to see from Rachel is how she will bring the character to life. What about a chemistry reading? Rachel does a scene with the male lead, and then the next girl does an amazing job right after Rachel to give some tension or stakes. The comedy in Funny Girl is also essential to the production, so why not show that aspect of the role in auditioning? We know Leah can act, but can Rachel Berry? It's just so blatantly clear that they are planning to have Rachel get the role next season, so why are we pretending? So, like, is marriage the only way to show you love your partner? According to the Glee writers, yes, seriously, it's not even close to the romantic gesture they claim, especially to someone you're not currently with, Blaine. It also seems to me that they think it'll solve all the issues the characters have with each other. What if, hear me out, not everyone wants to get married at some point and can still be perfectly content with their lives? There are some questionable messages being sent with the whole marriage will save us ideal the show seems to have. Anyways, hope you're both well. Good luck with your Brian Ryan cruise ship dreams, Ian. Love, Eliza. Eliza, thank you so much. I am living my Brian Ryan cruise ship dreams. One of our shows does have the song Dream On in it. Unfortunately, I do not sing it. But close
oh,
enough.
Oh, damn. You love singing proximity. That song. Oh, cool.
I do
cool.
love to sing that song.
You're Brian Ryan adjacent, certainly.
Eliza, you make such good points, especially Funny Girl is about a girl
who's
say it. Funny.
There it is. I knew you were going to
say
it.
So you'd think they'd have Rachel be funny. And
well,
obviously, you
I
know,
thought so.
Funny Girl, obviously Funny Girl has like emotional heart to it and it has stakes and there's drama. But like if Fanny's not funny, the show's not working. Mm-hmm. And so it's so weird that every audition we see of Rachel is just her tapping into like the drama and the emotion and crying. And it's like, yeah. That's 20% of the show.
Yeah.
And the other 80% is you being charming and making the audience laugh.
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
There should be a much bigger focus on that, and we don't see any of it. And then, especially when you say, Eliza, we know Leah can act, but can Rachel Berry? Something I love in season one is in the episode Mattress, when we see Rachel act, and it becomes clear that she's bad, and it makes her, it's like so charming and so endearing, and I love that. But it's been established in season one that Leah Michelle's capabilities are not necessarily Rachel Berry's capabilities, and we haven't seen Rachel actually act since. Like, we saw a snippet of a scene.
I don't think she has acted, you know?
Well, yeah,
I
mean, well, like, we saw West Side Story, but we saw her singing, and yes, Rachel has always been able to emotionally connect to songs. And then we saw, like, a snippet of Rocky Horror, but all we saw was her go, Brad! Dr. Scott! And that was it. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really, like, seen anything to show that she is a good actor without the crutch of a song to emotionally connect to.
Yeah. And you know what I think it is? I think it's laziness. I think it's laziness.
Yeah.
I think they definitely could, like, write a whole scene or, like, make a whole, you know, write a whole scene of her, like, doing some sort of, like, interesting callback thing. But I think they were lazy. I think they were like, well, let's just have Leah sing another song.
Yeah.
But this is Glee.
It's easier to give her the Celine Dion song that she requested and just be done with it.
Totally. And you know what? They were done with it.
That's the vibe of this whole episode. Because like you say, Eliza, the competition numbers are also like, do not hold a candle to past competition numbers. This whole episode just feels like the writer's saying, oh, we're done. Like, we have to deal with the callback. We have to deal with regionals. We have to deal with all this stuff. What's the easiest way we can wrap it up? Okay, we're done with all that. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Moving on.
That is such a good way to put it. Like, the entire episode feels like, wrap it up. I don't know. I don't really know. Let's just wrap it up. I don't really know. Like, oh shoot, we forgot to put in choreography. Dang it. Oh shoot, we forgot to write a song for the callback. Or we forgot to write a scene for the callback. Let's just have her sing a song she's wanted to sing for a minute. Like, the whole thing feels very like, you know,
and
heaven knows what they had planned, but the whole thing feels, you know, a little, we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, you are very good about this, Lena, of giving a little, granting some grace to these writers for the fact that Finn was clearly going to be a major player in the end of this season. And then Corey went to rehab and they had to rethink everything. So, I mean, that is true. And they were put in a really tough spot.
Yeah.
But it certainly is felt in the episode that they were kind of just, what's a way we can wrap all this up?
Yeah. And even still, like, so many things are wrapped up in that, that I feel like aren't done with a lot of care. And it's just kind of like, oh, well, we got to end it. So let's just end it. You know, and I think there was a way that they could be like, you know, you know, heaven knows what was going on. Heaven knows what they were dealing with. I can't even imagine. But I don't know.
Yeah. And to your last point, Eliza, this show's view of relationships is so weird. It's like,
oh my gosh, for real.
The only drama that can be in a relationship is infidelity. Like, couples mm-hmm. cannot have problems except for one is like fully cheating on the other.
Yeah.
And then the only romantic gestures that relationships can have is full on marriage. It's like it's the two extremes.
Extreme. Yeah.
The only trouble in paradise that can happen is like the biggest betrayal yeah. possible. And the only romantic gesture is the absolute biggest romantic yeah. gesture possible, which is totally. A lifetime legally binding commitment.
You know, you've never seen Ted Lasso, but there's an episode where there's two characters who are dating who like spend all of their time together. They like, you know, sit with each other every single day. They go to work together. They drive to work together. They spend so much of their time together. And the one person, Keely in the relationship, like starts freaking out and she's like, I just need my space. And that's like so much a real like relationship problem. And I wish that more shows showed like just like regular relationship problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously infidelity is a, you know, that's a real relationship problem, but like just like an introvert being in a relationship. I don't know. I like seeing stuff like that on TV.
Yeah.
And also marriage, teenagers getting married. I can't even deal. I mean, well, I'm from Utah and I know a little more about that than the average bear, but.
Well, and also like you say, Eliza, the idea that like getting married is going to fix everything. It's going to fix our relationship. Like,
yeah,
we love each other so much that saying it under the authority of the United States government is going to mm-hmm. make sure that all of our issues are resolved. Yeah, we don't have to work totally. Through them.
It's like, that's absolutely the opposite. Now you like, you're bound by law now. Not just, oh, scary. Marriage is scary. Oh my God. Especially, you know, so many characters in this show have been like, well, let's just get married. It's cool. It's cool. Like even like Emma to Ken Tanaka, like this just happens so frequently in the show.
That's true. This show, because like when I said that, I was like, okay, that's not super fair to the writers, because a lot of times when a marriage is happening, we know that it's a bad idea. Like Will and Emma's first wedding, it was very clear that yeah. they should not be getting married yet. They should work through their issues. So the writers do understand.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Bert has that whole conversation with Blaine about, you know, marriage is a big deal and you really need to think about this. So the writers clearly do understand, like, you need to work through your stuff before you get married. But, like you just said, this is a well they go back to constantly. They don't know how yeah. to give a relationship stakes without infidelity or without yeah. a wedding. We had Emma and Ken's wedding in season one. We had the Finchel wedding in season three. We had two Wemma weddings in season four. And now we have Blaine is going to possibly propose to Kurt. It is four different instances of a couple getting engaged to bring about some sort yeah. of relationship
That's
drama
just lazy
on the
writing
show.
At that point. Like, yeah. I'm sure they know it's all wrong. I'm sure they know it's all wrong. But it's like, gosh, I've seen Glee before,
come
you guys.
Up with something
like,
else.
I know. Gosh. But anyway, Eliza, thank you so much for this message. Lots of great points you made. And I really appreciate it. Thank you. Up next, we have a message from OG friend of the podcast, Dia.
Hello, Lena and Ian. Friend of the podcast and first ever voicemailer, Dia over here. First of all, Ian, congratulations on your new job. It sounds so exciting. I actually had some thoughts on the Britney storyline. As a STEM kid, I have to say that the whole MIT scene was actually a little underwhelming. The number that those dudes were so shocked by actually wouldn't be that hard to figure out and doesn't justify Britney getting into MIT. The Avogadro number and Planck's constant are extremely well known to anyone, even in a high school level chemistry and physics class, respectively. The prime number part was impressive, though. Anyway, this plotline actually meant a lot to me. Besides being extremely funny, the lesson it taught me is so, so important. The first time I watched this episode, July 2020. I was struggling academically because of online classes, and this actually made me go and get the help I required, and that consequentially made me stop hating myself. Knowing that everyone's brain works differently and we should never be hard on ourselves if we're a bit slow sometimes was weirdly revolutionary for me. Glee finally did something right, I guess. Brittany as a character also means so much to me, mostly because even after everything, she never let anyone tell her she was stupid, and that is something we should all learn from. Also, justice for the Hoosier daddies. They should have fun, and that's the objective truth. Oh, one last thing. Ian, what are you most looking forward to during the cruise? Sorry for this weird email that is all over the place. I'm on my third cup of coffee today, and it's not even 3 p.m., so that should explain it. Love, Dia. Dia, I definitely took high school chemistry, and I definitely took high school physics, and maybe I just didn't pay attention, but I got pretty good grades in them, and I had no idea what Avogadro's number or Planck's constant was when watching this episode. I swear I'd never heard those words in my life. So frankly, as a man and not in STEM, I was impressed. I said, she's a genius. Get her an MIT.
A man not in STEM. I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says that.
Men not in STEM.
I don't know anything about numbers. So I appreciate you calling in to tell us that. Tell us a little more about numbers. I don't know anything about this. But I do love this. And I love... Thank you so much for sharing this, too. I love that this plot line inspired you to get, oh my gosh, especially like the help you need in class. Like that is, I think, one of the most brave things a person can do is like be learning something and ask for assistance. I think that's a really hard thing to do. And so I'm so glad that you did that. And I'm so glad that it led to such awesome things for you. And I'm so glad you shared that with us. Oh, I love you so much.
Love you, Dia. It's always fantastic to hear from you.
Right? Oh my gosh. Every time.
All right.
What are you most looking forward to on your cruise?
Most looking forward to on my cruise. I was talking to my friend about this today. Being forced to relax. I just like don't know how to chill out. I do not know how to relax. And I will purposely, I tend to run very busy. Like I tend to have a lot of stuff going on in my life. But then even during times when there's not much going on, I will purposely make myself get busy because for some reason I tend to equate my self-worth with how productive I'm being. So if I'm not being productive, I literally feel terrible about myself and I like get so unhappy. And so to be in a situation where I'm on this ship and I like don't have internet all the time, and so I can't be like doing other things, and I don't have cell service all the time, and so it is literally like you just staying on the ship and being here and relaxing is productive because you're getting paid to stay on the ship. I think it will hopefully hotwire my brain into being able to relax because I'll realize, oh, I'm getting paid to stay on the boat, so as long as I'm on the boat, anything I do is inherently productive. And I think that'll be very nice.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah. I'm planning on reading a lot of books. I'm planning on getting tan. I'm planning on watching a lot of shows that I've been wanting to watch. It's like when I got COVID. And it weirdly was like the most peaceful 2 weeks of my life.
No, because I totally hear that.
I hotwired my brain and it was, there's nothing else I should be doing right now. I literally am being productive by not leaving my room and not exposing other people. And it was the first time in months that I was actually able to relax. And I was like on cloud nine. Yeah. I was so chill.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know this, love a cruise. So I'm really excited for you to experience all of that. Like something about like chilling, reading a book, looking at the ocean, nothing beats it. It is the best. I love a cruise. There's fireworks going on outside my house. Sorry if you can hear that. Well, heck, that's your mini-sode, you all.
We got relative pitch now. Okay, is it you amazing. First this week?
I think so, because it's an even mini-sode, but my phone is across the room. Let me go grab it.
Songs in this episode: To Love You More by Celine Dion, Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog, Clarity by Zedd featuring Foxes, Wings by Little Mix, Hall of Fame by The Script featuring will.i.am, I Love It by Icona Pop featuring Charlie XCX, All or Nothing by Glee. You're going to sing Clarity by Zedd featuring Foxes.
Clarity lyrics. Do I know this song very well? I better. Chasing relentlessly, still fighting, I don't know why. I think this is way too high. Why are you my clarity?
Okay, so you think the why are you my clarity is B flat, A flat, B flat, C, G, A flat, something like that. Those are the notes. Okay. I don't know if that was the exact order. Well, it was not too high. That's it exactly.
My word. I was like, I don't really know this song. I don't really know this song very well. And then look at me. I killed it.
Crazy.
I'd like you to sing Icona Pop. I want you to sing I Don't Care.
Bless you. I was hoping I'd get this one.
I got this feeling on a summer day when you were gone. I crashed my car into a bridge. I watched and let it burn. I threw your heart into a bag and pushed it down the stairs. I crashed my car into a bridge. I don't care.
Okay, so that like main sustained note is an A flat. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Oh my god!
It's a cruise ship miracle.
I literally almost screamed. I'm fully in a hotel right now.
People scream in hotels all the time, Ian Allred.
That's true. I don't want to be one of them.
All right.
How long has it been? Wow. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. Ending season 4 in style, frankly. Shoot, by season 4 you did not best me.
Put your shades on, baby.
Honestly, season 4, you were my Merle. You said, totally. I'm going to break you down. This is going to be the most inconsistent season yet. You're going to get tonal whiplash. And I said, but you know what I'll also get? Relative pitch. Thanks, Merle.
Whoa, that season 4 was such a Merle. Oh my God.
For real. Big time Merle.
Huge Merle.
Well, wow. Thanks for being here, everyone. Yeah. Thank you to all our Merles out there who got us to this point.
Yeah, shout out to my Love Merles. All of you.
A reminder that the season 4 wrap-up is not coming out this Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be this a super will secret be a, rerun.
It'll be a bonus episode voted on by our... not a bonus. It'll be a rerun voted on by our Patreon. Mm-hmm. Love you all so much. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
See you for our lovely rerun Wednesday, and see you for our lovely season 4 wrap-up the week after.
I know. Get excited. From what I hear, Alex has got some crazy predictions. Just kidding, I've heard nothing from him, but they're usually crazy and awesome.
I literally was like, has he talked to you about it? Because he has not.
No, not a word. No, not a word. I did this little thing called lying. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I haven't, because I'm so honest.
I only do it for pranks. Don't worry. Hope you guys all have an amazing rest of your week. We love you so much. Everyone bid bon voyage to our boy Ian. Is that what people say when people go on boats?
I think so, yes.
Well, bon voyage, buddy. I hope you have a great time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll chat soon. Love to you all. Here is a mini kiss on your mini tiny little cutie forehead. Consensual.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde. Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.